Hi, I'm Azzy.
Hi, I'm Bali, and welcome
to the Dietitian Frequency.
Okay, we're here again and again. We've had such a successful season, I must say, and it's almost to the end. But we've had such, I think, successful episodes that people can still go and listen and listen and listen.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
No, we are talking about mental health. I think this is a really important... The fact that we're laughing is because Siagoa.
We are going
through the motions. We are going through it. And I think a lot of people are
when
it comes to their mental health.
Yeah.
And there's actually ways that you can support your mental health through nutrition.
Mm.
So this is exactly what we're going to be tackling during this episode.
Yeah.
So
I think the big thing about mental health is I find that we look at food negatively when it comes to mental health, because we are always focusing on, you know, I'm going to eat for comfort. And then there's guilt and, oh, I shouldn't and I shouldn't.
Mm.
But we don't understand that there's actually a thing, you know, it's actually a thing that you can use food to support your mental health.
Exactly. No, that's very true. So I feel like we should just get on into it. Like, what is the role that nutrition plays in mental health, and what's that connection between the gut and the brain?
Let's get it. The big thing about the role that nutrition plays in one's mental health, I always see it as there's actually the brain, which is literally what you can touch, what you can see, the brain matter itself.
Yeah.
And the nutrients from food, they nourish that brain. So fats and vitamins and minerals, they nourish the brain matter, make it be the brain, make it look like the way it looks.
Mm.
And all of that comes from the nutrients from food. But then there is the mind, which is what we can't see with the naked eye, that holds emotions. That is, I think, what mental health is known to be, the emotions and the feelings, and that comes from the mind. Again, the food that we eat firstly provide nutrients that directly impact how we feel about food, whether it's in when some nutrients are lacking, then we feel a bit, you know, odd towards certain foods. But then if there is nutrients that whenever are in excess, again, we feel a little bit in a type of way around food. And then there are certain foods that are precursors, which means they are the foundation of certain neurotransmitters. And those foods, then they evoke those neurotransmitters, whether it's serotonin, it's dopamine, or whatever the neurotransmitter is. And those neurotransmitters then will impact how we feel.
Sure. So what is dopamine and what is serotonin? What are those neurotransmitters? For anyone who has no idea what that would
mean. These are neurotransmitters you can't really sort of quantify or see again with the naked eye, or even quantify and say, this is how much dopamine I see, I need, or how much. But what we know is that those neurotransmitters are important for the body, for our emotions and moods and how we're feeling about certain things. I'm going to make an example with carbohydrates. So carbohydrates as a nutrient, please don't say, come to me and say you don't eat carbs, because I'm not talking about the carbs in that sense. I'm talking about the extra nutrient, carbohydrate. They are important because they help us make serotonin. And serotonin is a feel-good hormone. So serotonin helps us feel good. After eating something that is higher in carbohydrates, we produce, or we can now make the serotonin. And hence, then we'll attach certain foods that are predominantly high in carbohydrates with comfort. It comes from that we are getting the serotonin. And those are some of the neurotransmitters and hormones that, you know, are important for one's mental health. Yeah. So now what we get from that is that the role of nutrition in mental health is not necessarily only about dealing with anxiety and dealing with depression.
Yeah.
Yes, those are the emotions and the mind part of things, but for the brain itself to be what a brain is, for the brain development, for the brain to be nourished, they need the brain needs the nutrients, and we get that from food.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what about the gut-brain axis? What exactly is that?
We did touch a bit on my gut health episode. We did touch a bit on that connection.
Yes. But in terms of the mental health side, like how can that kind of relate to that?
Yeah, it stems from that there's a gut-brain axis, that direct link between a gut and a brain. And there's an actual, physical artery that is connecting the two.
Yeah.
And when one has poor gut health, meaning that the amount of micro, we spoke about the community of bacteria, when that is off and their microbiota or, gut microbiome is off, then that can affect their mental health, right? And then also what we see is that when you feed the gut the right type of food, we spoke about in the previous episode, we spoke about fiber, prebiotics and the probiotics, then you're allowing your gut to thrive. And by doing that, it improves your mental health. But also we see that people who've got certain sort of mental health conditions, anxiety being one of them, anxiety disorder, depression. I'm mentioning those two because those are the ones we hear a lot about lately everywhere. Yeah. And we see that, and what we call A-type personality people. So that you are very particular about things being done orderly, and they don't want disruption. And it's a bit of a strong personality that they've got. That group may suffer. I'm not saying for sure, but there's some evidence saying that they may suffer a lot from gut problems. So now mental health is affecting ones. And they even say you've got a very weak stomach or weak gut, meaning that then it affects your gut health, and then vice versa when your gut health is poor. So the butterflies in your stomach, it's also a real thing, because it's your body, it's your gut responding to what's happening in your mental health. When you are nervous before an interview, those nerves that you feel in your core of your gut, and you feel like you just want to run to the bathroom, that is a real thing that is linked to your brain and your gut.
Sure.
So taking care of your gut health then becomes an essential thing, or an essential nutrient goal or nutrition goal. I mean, when you're trying to improve your mental health, taking care of your mental health is very important when you're trying to reach a goal of improving your gut health.
So they go hand in hand, basically.
Very much so. You can, wow. I mean, I don't wanna, there is ways of stress management and breathing and physical activity, all those that are specific perhaps to mental health. But if your gut is in poor condition, you'll struggle to get things right. It should just always be off. So you need to make sure that your gut health is in good condition. And I think it speaks to why we do what we do as dietitians, to help people understand that food has a much more complex role that it plays, but then we simplify it for them easily to say, now, because you'll be thinking, oh, now I have to chase gut health and chase mental health, and it feels like now you're going to be thinking about a lot of different foods and a lot of different meal plans that for you to achieve that. But the truth of the matter is that you don't have to. There's just one way of eating that helps support gut health, at the same time support mental health, without you trying to juggle everything and remembering, oh, I need to eat this for mental health. Oh, I need to eat that for my gut health as well. Yeah.
So then, I guess if we're going to dive into that, what would you say are like some of the nutritional cornerstones for nutrition and for your brain health and for mental health? Like, what are those foods that people should be incorporating in general to support their mental health?
Yeah. I like what you said, brain health or mental health, because we always have to remember, I think sometimes when we're mentioning mental health nutrition, it's limited to the emotions.
Yeah.
The non-tangible part of the brain. But when we speak of brain health, it's clear that we are also speaking about the physical part of the brain. So we will be mentioning, I think in this podcast, mentioning both mental and brain, but when we are saying mental, you must know we mean both brain and emotions at the same time, but we might also use the brain health. So there are certain nutrients, I mean, all nutrients, all vitamins and minerals and all vitamins and minerals and your carbohydrates and protein and healthy fats, all those play a role in the health of all the organs, including the brain health. But if I were to say, what are the sort of cornerstone and the big nutrients that are important for mental health, it will be the healthy fats.
Yeah.
So the brain matter is made up of fat as well. So it makes sense to nourish it, to nourish it with healthy fats. And healthy fats are plant fats. So fats, they differ. There's plant fats and there's animal fats. Okay. Plant fats is what people will call good fats. Those are the unsaturated fats, which means that basically at room temperature, they are more, they can be liquid at room temperature.
Yes.
So those are plant fats. And then the saturated fats, the animal fats, are the ones that angumela. This is what we say angumela. So they become hard at room temperature. So like your red meat, like a manoni, you know, that fat, the visible fat in red meat, what we see gulusu, that fat on top, that is saturated fat, and skin of the chicken provides us with saturated fats. But there are plant fats that fall under the category of saturated fats.
And what is that plant fat?
So this coconut oil. So coconut oil, we know as much as that at room temperature, if the temperature is high, like it's hot in that environment, it will become liquid. But on a norm, coconut oil is solid at room temperature. And that makes it qualify as a saturated fat, because it means the elements that make saturated fat are higher in coconut oil.
Mm.
Palm kernel oil is also categorized as a saturated fat because of the same reason. So those are the two main exceptions from what we call plant fats, and we expect them to be unsaturated fat, and then we find them to be saturated fat. So for brain health, we need more of the plant fats, the seeds, your nuts, avocado, your oils, your plant oils like canola oil, olive oil, the olives, all of those, because they help us nourish the brain.
Okay.
And then there's the other part of fats which we call essential fatty acids. And the essential fatty acids are omega-3s and omega-6. So omega-3s play a role in inflammation.
Mm.
And this is the swelling we can't see with the naked eye that we find at a cellular level. So we need a nice balance between omega-3 and omega-6. Omega-3 helps us prevent the inflammation, so it's anti-inflammatory.
Mm.
And then omega-6 encourages the inflammation, which means it's pro-inflammatory. And the ratio between the two always has to be nicely balanced, so that there is not that exacerbated, or I just said a big word, exacerbated.
Wow. That better English.
Yes. But I mean, like, too much, basically, yeah. Too much inflammation. We need a balance of both. So you need omega-3, you need omega-6 in right quantities. But for brain health, we need more omega-6 for sure. We need your oily fish, like your pilchard, sardines, salmon.
Omega-3, actually.
Omega-3, yes. We get those from your oily fish, and salmon, trout, sardines, anchovies, herring. You know, it can get very quite fancy there. And then we get also omega-3 from plant sources like your chia seeds, walnuts, flax seeds or linseeds. But we know that the conversion rate, so we have an enzyme that is important for converting the plant version of omega-3 to the usable form. We lack that, so that's why I prefer to get omega-3 from algae, for example, which is better converted.
Mm.
And then omega-6 we get mostly from your pumpkin seeds, your pumpkin, your sunflower seeds, your sunflower oil as well. And we need that, but not in high quantities. And more commercial foods have more the omega-6, because they use a lot of sunflower oil, and they, that in terms of commercial batch cooking, I think it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And for that reason, that we don't need extra omega-6. We already have a lot in our westernized diet. We need more of the omega-3. So healthy fats, that's the story there. And then there are fat-soluble vitamins. Now, from the fact that the brain matter itself has more fat content, we need more fat-soluble vitamins. And they also play a role, like your vitamin E. You know, it's a fat-soluble vitamin. Vitamin D as well as a fat-soluble vitamin. And those are important for the nourishment of the brain. And then there are also minerals like your selenium that have got antioxidants. And we know that brain cells, they need protection. And they get that from antioxidants, like, as I said, from selenium. It's a good antioxidant. Vitamin C as well as a good antioxidant. Mm. And they basically, the role of antioxidants is to protect the cells from damage that can happen at a cellular level. So those are the vitamins and minerals. But then also your variety now of different nutrients and vitamins in small doses and small quantities has a role. I mean, yeah, zinc and iron and vitamin B's and vitamin A. They might not be sort of like flagship into heading this brain health. But they support brain health in one way or the other. So those are sort of like, you know, what we talk about. And also, there is, you know, protein. Protein in itself plays a role. And I think more than anything, it's because of the amino acids. So the amino acids are important for the protection of the brain cells and helping us with that. But also amino acids, they play a role as well as the foundation for neurotransmitters. So neurotransmitters are quite, they're very nice. I think whenever I think of neurotransmitters, I think perhaps at some point I need to do neuroscience and just understand this like a smallest level, because they are not spoken of. I mean, when we hear calories and macros, we don't hear anybody really speaking about these small nutrients that have a big role though to play. Amino acids have a huge role to play in the making of neurotransmitters, and neurotransmitters support our emotions and they support our the whole nervous system. So
what are amino acids actually?
So in the simplest of terms, so protein, you know, protein and proteins are the building blocks of you know, our muscle mass, the actual muscle mass. So amino acid, think of them as a further broken down protein. Like they are much more. So if we were to take protein and break it down into the smallest building blocks, than what it is, then we'll get amino acids.
Okay.
So they are babies to protein.
Okay, if so, I see what
so like babies to protein, like the offsprings of protein. Without protein, we are unable to make those the amino acids. So they play an important role in supporting, and there are a lot of them.
Yes.
And they've got different functions, whether it's leucine or whatever the case is. And some brands, they like highlighting amino acids, so they will say our food item has 19 amino acids, or our food item has like 20 amino acids. Maybe those amino acids are added in that food item.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we cannot see the offsprings without acknowledging the mother, the protein.
That's very true.
So we need to somewhat acknowledge how much protein is here. Why are we running with amino acids? Why are we running with the offsprings? Because we know that the function of the offspring in this case is dependent on the health of the mother as well. So if the protein source is poor, the absorption of the amino acids that are there is going to be poor. So let's not run with the offspring. And I think because once we that's a challenge about science, you know, once we speak big words and big functional terms, then we confuse people into thinking what's important is this, but not necessarily. After this conversation, you and I know a lot of people are going to be now fixated on neurotransmitters, but they are a list of your problems. Let's just feed the brain to begin with. And then from that neurotransmitter, let's just eat the basic nutrition. Basically, this takes us back to having a plate that has healthy fats, lean protein, whole grains, which are sources of carbohydrates, and then vitamins, and then vegetables, which provides us vitamins and minerals, and then healthy fats that bind everything, whether it's in the form of, you know, avo or oils that are used in cooking. That plate is giving us the nutrients that we need for brain health. But the challenge comes because majority of the people, that plate is not complete. They are not eating carbs because they don't eat carbs. Or you find shame, people who really, it's just lack of knowledge.
Yeah,
they fill a plate that is half protein, in a sense that when they say half protein, it means half meat and half veg is the plate because it's clean. But the truth is that plate, as much as it might look healthy, bravo for making it half a plate vegetables, but you are now missing, you know, protein sources like your chicken, fish are not good sources of carbohydrate. You are missing good source of carbohydrate, and those are the foods that are also important. And then you find a plate where quarter plate is your carbohydrate source, like your starch, as we call it, or whole grains, and then quarter plate is their meat, and then half a plate is vegetables, but they've steamed everything. So there's no healthy fat.
And you know, fat also gives flavor. So I mean, when you are cooking something and you steam it, definitely. Yeah. But if you're gonna drizzle a little bit of olive oil at the end, like even just one teaspoon,
that can go a long way. And that supports the whole absorption of nutrients, especially fat-soluble vitamins. So fat-soluble vitamins, they need fat for them to be better absorbed in the body.
Mm.
And when we've now, we are saying we're eating healthy, yay, but like, you know. So that's what we definitely, but the challenge also, Azi, it's when it comes to all these talks, Zama, brain health, the mental health and nutrition. The next thing is like everything is pricey then. If I have to think about that, then food is out of reach. Food is expensive. Healthy eating for that specific reason is expensive.
Yeah.
But if we always remember, because budget is a big thing recently, because of obvious reasons, petrol hikes and food oil. Food is super expensive.
And the changes in the environment that make certain fruits and vegetables more expensive because we've had so much rain, and then it means that there's certain
floods,
bacteria,
all of that.
Yeah, the floods and the specific pathogens or pesticides. That we just mess with everything.
And then there's war in Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, that also influences supply chain. Here's where I get a little bit...
In South Africa, right, we produce sunflower.
We do.
Then we make sunflower oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then sunflower oil shoots up 3 times the original price because of the war in Ukraine and Russia.
But this is not the economics podcast,
so let's moving right along.
Just there's so many supply chain issues that happen whenever we're in crisis.
It's like
there's so many supply chain issues that happen.
Yeah,
I feel like the petrol is a clear indication. That's clear. Wow. Okay.
That's clear. I mean, 24 rand a liter of petrol. It's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But that's how people feel about food as well. Like food is extremely expensive.
It is.
And I mean, we can say, yeah, you can make it affordable, but like affordable is relative because at this point, affordable is different for everyone.
Can I give you 3 things as much as affordable is relative that if one is going to buy and they want to keep in mind? 1, do not fear house brands. Do not fear house brands.
Yes, please.
We live in a country where our retailers, especially grocery food stores, have really pushed, you know, to make sure that their house brands are as of good quality as the specialty brands or whatever that you call the alternative. So don't fear house brands. House brands are normally cheaper than the other brands. So if you're trying to save money, do you go for house brands?
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, do not fear frozen. I mean, I know that frozen foods, I'm going to be honest with you, frozen vegetables are not the best in texture. We still haven't got, you know, a best brand whereby texture is like checking up. If you do get that brand, which there is, I'm not going to mention a shop, but their prices are ridiculously high because, I mean, they are a niche kind of shop.
Yeah.
But don't fear frozen. There is ways to dealing with those poor textured vegetables, like adding them. So instead of buying a whole mixed veg bag, rather than do corn and peas and add corn and peas into your rice, it works. Or add them in a stew. If it's a mixed vegetable pack, add it in a stew. It works. If you don't want to have it as a side, a full-on side, you know, whether it's canned, if you're doing chakalaka and you're doing canned chakalaka, it also works because it counts as vegetables. So don't fear frozen and canned foods, but it's just how you prepare it. I mean, I wouldn't expect if you do it where you're just going to steam frozen vegetables and put salt, and that's not going to be nice. Like, I don't want to lie to you. I've tried frozen vegetables. However way, if they are just on their own, they're not always the best. But adding them into stuff and just mixing things up, it works. And then the third thing, so I said, don't fear house brand and then frozen and canned foods. The third thing that we must know, the nutrition says, or the science of nutrition says, eat a high iron food item.
Yeah.
But the science of nutrition didn't say eat only this source of iron. You get what I'm saying? It just said it's more iron food sources.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that the only way to have an iron rich diet is spinach and red meat.
It didn't say that.
Red meat. Mm. There's so many sources.
Do you know that a bowl in South Africa, whether it's bran flakes or corn flakes or maize meal porridge, those foods that are fortified with vitamins and minerals, they give you enough iron. So really now we don't have to now say, I only have to eat red meat because I have low iron.
Exactly.
And now red meat is pricey. Then you're going to say healthy things pricey. Mm-hmm. Again, I was saying about the nutrients that are important for brain health, right? I spoke of omega-3 fatty acids. Yeah. And those who've heard me speak on radio or wherever, I say this all the time. The guideline is that you must eat at least 2-3 servings of oily fish a week to get enough omega-3s. It didn't say you must eat 3 fillets of salmon a week to get omega-3. It didn't say that. So for one to limit omega-3 to salmon, or to one to limit omega-3 to trout, the beginning and the end of us all, there are other sources, pilchards, sardines, that are more affordable. I know that if you are cooking a can of pilchards, which costs about 30 rands, you might think, but this is still expensive. If I want to cook for a family of 6, I need to cook 2 tins. That means I'm saving the main the protein source at 60 rand for that meal. Yes, looking at it like that, you might think it's pricey. But what about we do a can of pilchards and add baked beans into that to expand it? In that way, we don't cook 2 tins of pilchards, but we cook 1 tin of pilchards and add baked beans and rice. I love that meal, actually. Yeah, rice and that combination. But so those are the 3 things. One, it's what was the first one that I spoke about? Don't fear house brands, frozen and canned foods. And then the third one is with regards to eating, understanding the science of nutrition, knowing that this is a nutrient I need, but these are the more locally accessible, affordable sources, so that we don't find ourselves only eating salmon for omega-3, but knowing that sardines and pilchards are as good.
Yeah, no, I really like that, because I think, if we're being honest, spending 250 rand on one box where it's four pieces versus what you could get if you spent that same money and you distributed it a little bit differently, you could get a lot more out of it.
I think, you know, people or shops, just putting a call out there, shops themselves or people themselves can use dietitians to help them shop better. It doesn't mean that now you've been going to be consulting with the dietitian every month basis, but once off, just sit down with a dietitian and say, the amount of money that I have allocated for food a week or a month, what can I buy from this that is going to feed my family nutritious foods? I actually think that can be a service.
It is a service that a lot of dietitians, you know, where you, if you want to go on a grocery haul, you go on a grocery haul with a dietitian.
But I don't think it's really put out there and people know for sure that you can just ask for that service and say, I want to know. I've done it. I think there was a couple early in my career, I used to work next to a grocery shop, and some of my clients will say, come do, can you please do grocery shopping with us? And then I'll do them. And they'll be like, what? Even the way you walk the shop sort of determines how much you're going to. No, I walk the shop very different. And if you're trying to do shopping with me and you think that we're going to walk your way, you are wrong. I'm going to walk the shop my way. Otherwise, let's do online shopping.
But I think that's a really great service people need to know about.
No, definitely.
That's something I offer, but I've never explicitly liked.
So here we are. We offer that, both of us.
Both of us.
So if you just want to just go on a grocery haul, be there and just compare and read labels.
Exactly.
You know, but of course you must just allocate a little bit of time. Don't say grocery haul for like 20 minutes. How am I going to even teach you how to walk the shop in 20 minutes?
No.
So like an hour and a half, you know, just to get things. And then you say, this is your budget. Anyway.
Exactly. We digress. I think let's talk about some lifestyle kind of interventions. Like, what are some lifestyle factors someone can implement to try and actually improve their mental health or support their mental health, support their brain health overall?
when it comes to mental health, one first thing is sleep.
Sleep. We all get that one.
And you
wrong.
See what has happened. I haven't read a paper on this, but I see it in practice that the pandemic came and people's sleep patterns were disrupted. People were not sleeping because they know that in the morning they're not going to be stuck in traffic. And then they're working from home. They find themselves napping or whatever the case is. And that somewhat, you know, got everybody again on this mental health issues that we are facing with. Yeah. So it became like a vicious cycle of things. So sleep is very, very, very important. If you haven't slept well, even your judgment on things, even how you react to certain things is a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Because something that you could have maybe taken a breather on and just be like, okay, I hear you. When you are sleep deprived, it just feels like, oh my gosh, the world is ending today.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot. So sleep, try to at least sleep, we say 6 to 8 hours of good quality sleep is important. And this is, I think practicing good sleep hygiene is a beginning of a good night's sleep.
Definitely.
Because to just think you're going to just, you know, bang the feet against each other and jump into bed. Unfortunately, that doesn't really work for most people, especially in the urban areas. You need to really try to sort of use wind that last down. Hour to just wind down and power down. And if you need to bath, take a quick shower, do what you have to do, switch off lights and get more dim lights and put away your device and switch off stuff and maybe read and drink tea or do some writing. But this thing of working in bed and then the next thing you put the laptop on the side and you try to sleep, you spend 2 hours tossing and turning, your brain not shutting down, which is going to affect the number of hours you're going to sleep. The next thing at 6 a.m. you have to go and you haven't slept well.
Exactly.
So sleep is important. And the second thing is being more mindful and breathing more. I think being more here and now and present and teaching ourselves to breathe. And this is where obviously the psychology talk episode comes in as well, that we'll have either this season or the next season, but we'll be talking more about the lifestyle changes that you can do to manage your mental health. But I'm going to speak here just lifestyle habits that we can adopt from a nutrition and a dietitian side of things. So breathing more and stress management is one of the big things. And how we manage that, it could be through physical activity, where you just go for a walk, move your body in a way that, you know, suits you, and that helps a lot with regards to your mental health. And stopping to breathe, I think I started doing more of this maybe like mid last year myself, where I started being more aware. And I feel like if I don't breathe, whether it's a news that I receive or somebody's making me upset or something is making me frustrated, if I don't take a moment to breathe, it goes south from there
very quickly
because my emotions just go run wild and I'll be thinking no. But if I take a moment and breathe, and whether it's 10 breaths, and I think that's what obviously also motivated my breathe tattoo that I've got on my arm. Because I think when I realized that if I have a reminder to breathe, then I handle things. So stress management, take a couple of deep breaths. Online, you can search on the internet. There are different techniques that are used as to whether it's 10 deep breaths, 7, 7, or whatever the case is. But there are a lot of techniques. And then so it's sleep and breath work and physical activity. So move your body. And I think the concept of going to gym is still something that people see as far-fetched, because it feels like I need to drive to gym, allocate 2 hours for this whole thing. But how about we look at it as movement, moving your body? That means you will find it easy to just, maybe if you are on a phone call that's going to last an hour, and perhaps you are working from home, then you take that phone call walking around your complex. You know, you put on your earphones, and as you are walking gently around your complex, you're on a phone call. Or every hour you take about, you know, 15 minutes where you stand up, you know, stretch, walk around. I say it, when it's a meeting that you can take while walking about, do that. And then also steps, tracking your steps help as well, to just know how many steps are you acquiring in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So if you were to sum up just how to support your brain health and just into a few sentences, just for anyone to have a takeaway from this episode, what would you put that as?
I think it's important to understand the importance of the role that food plays in regards to our emotions, right? So when we look into food and we are not content and we are not really comfortable with food, it's going to affect our mental health. It's going to affect, because food is around us all the time. And food is, as a consequence of the body image, we link to, it's because I ate this. So yeah. I think as a start, let's somewhat, think in the previous episodes on disordered eating or eating disorders, we spoke about that, the relationship with food. And I think it comes in here as well that first things first, let's find ways, let's reach out to a dietitian, let's find sort of practical methods to help us build a good relationship with food. And then the other thing that we need to try to do is to understand that whatever we eat and drink, it affects our mental health. Again, in the sense of emotions, as I'm saying now, the relationship with food, but also the actual brain matter. And we should think of that when we are thinking, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? And when we restrict calories, we must know that it may impact the actual brain health, because we might not be getting enough healthy fats, or we might not getting enough healthy carbohydrates that support the actual brain cells. So those are the things that we need to think about. And also, there are foods we might eat that have us thinking of previous experiences.
Yeah.
Whether those experiences were positive and negative. So sometimes foods give us that nostalgia feeling.
Yeah.
Or nostalgia emotions. We must acknowledge those and not try to sort of avoid certain foods, but knowing that they remind us of home. And sometimes you need that. You need certain foods that are going to remind you of a home feeling and eat them. But now, if your relationship with food is poor, you will eat them and feel guilty. So just trying to find ways and techniques on dealing with those two issues of understanding food as nourishment to the actual brain, but also food as nourishment to the soul, basically.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you there. We speak of chocolates, for example. It just came now to mind that we speak of chocolate saying, oh, just eat a chocolate. Of course, those are certain foods, because of the nutrient makeup of those foods, they will increase certain nutrients that help us feel better.
Yeah.
Maybe because directly they impact our neurotransmitters or contribute to amino acids or however way.
Yeah.
So there are foods that, whether it's the health benefits of the antioxidants or amino acids, those foods, if we include more of. But I always find that if you focus on those foods, then I'm going to mention five foods, and then people think it's only those five foods.
Do you understand?
So find what works, but the big start is start with the nutrients that are important.
Yeah.
Then from understanding the nutrients that are important, then you're going to work your way into the foods that you have or that you prefer that fit that bill of those nutrient profile.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you. This is an awesome episode. I think anyone who's listening will really enjoy this. So thanks. Thanks for talking us through mental health and nutrition, Bali.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Stay tuned for the next episode. We drop every Thursday.